arms and let it rain down on you. Huh?
For the rest of your life, never marry, never make a pretty woman your wife. As if an ugly wife makes a man more entitled to whatever he thinks he deserves. And the man on our panel tonight is shaking his head here. I guess he doesn't know what's really going to happen. That song is about prejudice regarding body image, and we'll talk about that more as the show goes on. Can you turn that on off? On off, yeah. Right now, this is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host. I can't even talk tonight. This is Sherry Edwards, your host, along with tall, blonde Heather.
Hi, Sherry.
How was your week at Sound Health?
It was great. It was really busy. We had an overwhelming response to our show last week. Everybody really seemed to like our roundtable vocal profiling review, as we like to call it, because it's similar to The View. So, and we have our panel back here somewhat, along with a new guest. Bill, welcome to Bill to the show.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to talk to Bill a little bit more. He's a little reluctant. I think we coerced him. Coerced. He needs an alias. We'll call him William. How's that?
William.
Okay. Heather, I understand.
Oh, Will.
Will. Okay, I understand you're starting a new. It's going to be a good night. I understand you're doing a new diet study. Can you talk about that a bit?
We've got a great new project we talked a little bit about last week. It's our diet study, and we're actually looking for some volunteers. And volunteering is not a hard thing to do. It's very simple. You fill out a questionnaire and send us your vocal print, and in return you get to be a part of the new vocal profiling approach to diet. And it's going to be the medicine of the future. There's so much potential in vocal profiling.
Nikki, one of our panel members that were with us last week, been helping with some of the preliminaries with that study. And you've been talking a bit about how the nutrients you're taking has helped you with that. Do you want to talk about that a little bit up front?
Yeah, sure. We did a nutrition profile and found that I was lacking in some nutrients. And since I've been taking them, I've lost 17 pounds.
In how long?
3 weeks.
Ooh. That looks great, Nikki.
With all this stuff with Codex going on and them making vitamins only from your doctor, this is a good thing to be able to look at what nutrients, but with vocal profiling we can do that too. But we hope they still keep nutrients on the market. But if they don't, we can give people nutrients by frequency.
That would be great. Can you imagine only doctors being allowed to prescribe vitamins?
That's what they're trying.
That's horrible.
Well, they said it's because people take them when they don't need them. They overdose on them, and I think there's been one overdose of vitamin
yeah.
D in the last 20 years or something. But we can look at what nutrients people actually need through vocal profiles. We can see why a particular nutrient is not being utilized.
Takes the guesswork right out of it, doesn't it?
I think so. And then, too, with them talking about health care and Ron Paul's new health care bill, I think a lot of people see the need for vocal profiling as not just an alternative, but really the future of medicine.
Absolutely.
So all that's been going on all this week. Say on tell them we got a new CD. That's Heather's fault.
We just got it in last week. It's a new DVD. It's Sherry and it's about Sherry and her work, and it's amazing. A lot of powerful information is contained in that, and that's you can find that up on the website. That's NutraSounds.com. If you call in, we can get that right out to you. I think, how much are we asking for that?
I don't know.
Isn't
that awful?
Give them a little bit of a deal today since they're the first customers?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something.
Yeah, well, call it and we'll get you something mentioned that you heard about us on the show. And our phone number is area code 740-698-9119. And you can just ask for me, Heather, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Are we allowed to give anything away?
I don't think our bookkeeper likes that too much when we do that.
Well, we could do some kind of prize, like put the first 10 people in a bucket and draw out for a free one or something.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. We don't have to tell her, do we?
We can do that. You know, even though I'm the one that did that video, powerful is a really good word for it because it brings together esoteric and ideas about sound healing and the voice and physics and Pythagorean theory and new string theory. And
you've got a little bit of everything in there. And I didn't even say the name of the DVD. It's called Doorway to a New Medicine, which that's exactly what we're talking about tonight.
Well, we did it as a publicity piece so that people could see the need for this. And I think the need to look at sound health in sound as an integral and stable, but also sound health as something that people can use for predictive health and get out from under the healthcare system. We've talked about that a lot, but tonight we're going to continue our panel. Actually, this is an extension of last week's show in which we talked about weight discrimination. So we have William here, a reluctant male, and I described him here.
You
did, after we coerced you. And so I have a little description here. A long, lanky sports nut and retired utility worker. You want to add anything else to that? Motorcycle enthusiast?
I have a motorcycle rider.
Beast of burden.
Beast of burden. That's good. Us women like that. Nikki is back with us, mother of seven, corrections officer, who gained weight after the birth of her last baby. Jessica is scheduled to be with us. If you remember, she was here last week, mother of an active three-year-old who holds down a job and goes to school, and her concern is prejudice, usually from women, and we didn't consider that last week, but it's usually from women when people are underweight, and Jessica considers herself underweight and has trouble keeping weight on. She may burst through the door at any minute and join us. I'm here. Heather's here. So to catch people up a bit, we talked about weight discrimination, people's perceptions of weight, self-esteem issues surrounding that, particularly when your significant other cranks their head to ogle at someone on the street. That's very presentable. Did you have any comments last week from the show?
I got several emails and calls saying they love the new format. They like to hear us talk and have fun and felt like they were a part of the conversation. A lot of people that was really interested in getting involved in this diet study. And the way that our listeners can get involved is just simply to email me and let me know that you would like to be a part of it. That's Heather@vocalprofiling.com. And if we have any listeners out there who would like to call in and ask us some questions, please do. Our toll-free number here is 877-270-8714 in the U.S. In Canada, it's 888-228-4494. If you can't get through to those phone lines, call 530-413-4515.
And we're not going to be taking calls to do vocal profiling tonight. We want to do an opinion piece. We will be continuing that next week, and we're going to do relationship compatibility. So call in with your significant other, and we're going to talk about that.
Interesting show.
And, Heather, if they want to call ahead of time and make an appointment to be on the show, can they call and do
Absolutely.
That with you?
Absolutely, and we can get that whole voice print set up, and so we'll be ready to go and have that analysis ready for the show. I think a lot of people will find it very interesting to see if you actually are compatible with your mate.
Or not.
Or not.
And we need to ask, do you want some soft, get-along, harmonic relationship, or do you want one of those rough-and-tumble ones?
Passionate.
Passionate. Well, more than passionate. Just keep things interesting. Yeah. What kind do you want?
One of those.
I like to live on the edge, right? I have some comments from some emails that we got, and we love your comments. I picked out a few of them that were sort of representative. I love the show. It was riveting. And that was from a male. I like that one.
From a male, really?
From a male, yeah.
Wow. And I did get a lot of compliments on Tom. I think Tom did a great job with the male perspective of the whole issue.
I think it was disgusting that the insurance tables, or whatever you call them, consider him obese. He was a fine-looking man.
Yes, he was. I couldn't believe that. It was hard to believe. I was shocked when I heard him say that.
I'm considered overweight on the arterial table.
You are.
You are.
You skinny thing. Are considered overweight?
With 200 pounds, and somebody 6'2" is supposed to weigh like 175. The scales are nonsense. That's what they say.
Where could you lose weight from?
I believe that those scales are
junk.
Pretty much irrelevant.
Or maybe you just have heavy bones or something. Because you are pretty tall and lanky. I'll go back to reading comments because he just shakes.
Heavier than fat.
You're always heavy than fat.
Muscle.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And you do carry muscle. Okay, I love this one. You fat ladies need to get away.
So how do they know we're fat? We never said that.
Yeah, we did.
You think you don't have lives.
You fat ladies need to get a life. And this really tore my heart here. There are 2 and 3 year old babies being sold into sex slavery, and you want to bitch about your husband watching someone's, I'll change this, boobs and butt. You are petty and should be ashamed of yourself. That's pretty. Take it down to earth, because we were complaining about our husbands oogling things on the street that, you know, that brought me to earth. Okay. Then we had another one. There are times when an employee being overweight is a disadvantage to an employer. How can a fat person be a manager of a health spa? I can see that.
I would agree with that to a certain extent.
We are trying to start healthy habits here. We take care of everybody else, but we don't take care of ourselves. Now that we've hired some people that can help us, maybe we'll get a minute to take care of our own stuff. And one of the comments I heard was, what about a fat waitress that causes the customer to order less food because of the fear of becoming overweight like the waitress?
I've never had an experience where I looked at the waitress and thought, well, I don't want to be like that and ordered less food. I think that's kind of ridiculous. I could see, like, if you were going to a spa or a weight loss center and the person who works there being overweight, then I would kind of doubt that what they were trying to sell me would work.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Help restaurants that crowd their tables so badly that a fat butt couldn't get through.
Or airlines.
Airlines?
Don't they charge extra for overweight people to fly?
I don't think they do, but boy, I am prejudiced. I am prejudiced about sitting next to a very hefty person who lops over into my seat.
Well, that's just a privacy issue.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personal space.
Because I'd do it if a woman had a baby on her lap and they were, like, kicking and hitting me. I would do that. Nikki, what do you think about overweight waitresses?
I don't know. I went to 2 restaurants this week, and one restaurant, the majority of the waitresses were overweight. And then
maybe that's
other,
because the food is good.
I don't know, but I felt kind of weird ordering.
Why?
You know, fatty stuff. And then I went to another restaurant, and there was no fat waitresses there. None.
How did that make you feel?
I don't know. There was a male at the table with us, and I asked him about that, and he said, it's management. It's a management issue.
Was it a difference in the restaurants, or about the same kind?
About the same kind of restaurant.
Huh. Phil, do you have any prejudice against fat waitresses, male or female?
I don't think so.
No comment from that corner.
I don't think so. That's not no comment.
Well, almost, the way you shook your head.
I thought about it to see if I didn't want to lie to you. I don't think I do.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, really.
So you don't tip them any different?
It's better if they serve me better.
Okay. Here's another comment.
If they flirt, I would tip more.
Yeah, would you? We'll probably get some comments about that.
I used to be a bartender. They absolutely would tip you more when you flirted with them.
I'm not talking about bartenders. I'm talking waitresses in restaurants.
I was a waitress, too.
Well, I was the waitress. I was the waitress when I was 17.
Uh-huh.
And it was a truck stop. And the other waitresses were older, and they were heavier, and they hated me. Because I was thin. The truckers, no. The truckers liked me, and I made really good tips, but...
You asked me personally.
Do you think they would...
Personally, no, I don't.
...give better tips to you?
Yes.
And the older woman?
Yes.
Is that an age thing, or is that just an appearance thing, you think?
Or a nice and a grouchy thing?
Ooh.
Were you nicer?
I don't know if I was nicer. They had more of a rapport because they'd been there longer. I was a good server. I'm not going to say I was a bad one. I was a good server. I know there were times that I would see a man put a $5 bill down, and when he got up, the woman would take it and throw her change down.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Because they didn't want you, the pretty little thing, to have the money? Or
maybe they were just tight.
Did they do it behind his back?
Yes. Behind his back, they would do it.
Wow.
Did you yell, hey, lady, you left your change?
If I was that guy, I'd be, and I saw her doing that, would be ridiculous. Wow.
Another comment I found very apropos. This is about males and females. You guys are right about weight discrimination for women. Name one fat female star, not singers, they're expected to be fat. And certainly not comics. Fat's the brunt of a lot of jokes. But a female star that is fat, no can do. But there are plenty of fat old men who are stars. Archie Bunker, Nero, the fat detective, Perry Mason, another fat detective, Kojak. The fat men still have a brain, but fat women are shunned and treated with incredible prejudice. Right on, girl. Go get them. Fantastic topic.
All right.
And then we got another one. What about Santa? They even slimmed Santa down in the last few years.
I think Santa likes being fat and jolly.
Right? So do you consider fat a jolly thing?
Not necessarily.
These are stereotypes.
Yeah.
There has to be something to stereotypes for it to even work. We played a song at the top of the hour. Actually, it was the bottom of the hour when we started, but I want to read you these words. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. A pretty woman makes her husband look small and often causes his downfall. As soon as he marries her, then she starts to do the things that will break his heart. But if you make an ugly woman your wife, you'll be happy the rest of your life. An ugly woman cooks meals on time, and she'll give you peace of mind. Don't let your friends say you have no taste. Go ahead and marry anyway. Though her face is ugly, her eyes don't match. Take it from me, she's a better catch.
I think that's a horrible
song. Well, this is a very old song.
Yes, old song. But I think it's very apropos. There's more to the song. Say, man, I saw your wife the other day. Yay, she's ugly. Yeah,
well, she sure can cook.
Yeah, this is kind of a chorus thing.
Well, this is the hit song in early 60s.
But really? I think that is a true stereotype, that women who are not blessed with looks and maybe are slender But women who are not blessed with looks, I'm trying to do a poll here and I'm having trouble. Would you be more prejudiced with an ugly woman who was slender and had a nice body? We had one of those working at the university. Honest to Pete, her face was like a horse, a very long face and very big buck teeth. But from behind, she looked great. Nice, nice body. She was dancing. Or an ugly and overweight. I think there would be more prejudice against overweight people because if you looked at an ugly person, most people would think, well, they can't help that, whereas an overweight person could lose weight, or that's their fault for being that way. Well, do you want to put the shoe on the other foot? And like what Jessica was talking last week, is it just her fault she's too slender? Can't she just eat more?
No, I think Jessica actually has problems gaining weight. I think she would like to weigh more.
But people aren't prejudiced, and it's kind of this...
Well, Jessica's also very pretty, too, anyways.
Well, I don't think Jessica's too skinny. She does. And when a woman compliments her about being slender, it upsets her.
I'm noticing.
Even though she's incredibly nice to look at. But do you think this idea of if you have an ugly wife, then you're entitled to more services? I'm putting that politely. More and better services? Better meals?
They expect more out of you because you're not as attractive as what you could be?
I'm asking.
There's more expectations?
Nikki, you finding any of that in your relationship?
I don't know whether to term myself ugly or pretty.
Stuck in the middle.
I don't make dinner on time. I think I can see it in other relationships. I don't know if I can see it in my own, but in other relationships, I think I can see where men feel like they have to be more service to an attractive wife, and they expect maybe a little heavier set or unattractive wife to take care of herself and him. He doesn't have to go that extra effort, maybe.
I think a female would be more apt to, how should I put this, more apt to take more abuse from a person because in some way she thinks she's deserving of that because she's not as attractive as what she could be.
Nikki, you were talking this afternoon about looking at people and not seeing them as overweight, that you just see them as wonderful, loving people, even with your own daughter. Until your daughter mentioned it to you, you didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah. If I love someone, I don't see the fat. And with my daughter, I didn't recognize her weight gain. Her grandmother mentioned it, and I became upset about it. And until she came to me and said, "Mom, I'm uncomfortable with my weight," then that's when I said, "Oh, okay, well, let's do something about it then." But until she said it,
you didn't see it.
She was just my baby.
Well, why do you think she became uncomfortable with it? Is that herself, or was there pressure put on from outside?
She's athletic, and all her friends are athletes, and she dealt with a friend that was anorexic and their weight problems, and she's I think it's a lot of pressure from friends and body image. And I mean, Paris Hilton and Nicole and all those girls are just killing themselves, and men still find them really attractive.
Wow.
They think they're wonderful. Lindsay Lohan.
No.
I mean, she's on the cover of every magazine.
To me, they look like they're anorexic or have some type of drug issue. Or Nicole Richie's pregnant now. How do you think the public's going to view her now that she's pregnant?
I think pregnancy is different than fat. But I think she started to look around her and see the covers of those magazines. And and it didn't help that her grandmother said she's overweight.
At how much did she weigh? She's like cracker thin now.
150.
Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, no.
Talking about her kid.
Oh, I was going like, who are we talking about here? Some of the stars, they've actually had their ribs taken out so they can appear thinner, and they're getting all of these sideways shots where these people are like 4 inches thick.
Impossibly thin. There's a major rise in gastric bypass surgery. Did you know that Medicaid and Medicare is actually paying for gastric bypass now?
We had a friend who had bypass surgery, and actually a cousin, and she said she considered it butchery after she got it done. It was just horrible, but she did it for health reasons.
So do you think that is to your advantage? I mean, is that going to make you healthier or less healthy?
I don't think so, because look at, they take your part of your stomach away, and that's where a lot of your nutrients
mm-hmm.
are created, and you constantly have to be vigilant. So anybody out there with bypass surgery, this would be something that would really help them to do vocal profiling and look at their nutrients.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to skip over here to something. What do you think about trophy wives?
I think it's completely unfair to first wives.
Well,
you ever see that movie First Wives Club?
No.
Where, let's see, who was in that? Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn. They were dumped by their husbands for younger, more beautiful versions. And then men in the end realized that what a horrible mistake they had made. And their trophy wives were of no substance.
Bill, we haven't heard from you. What do you think about a fat wife or a thin wife? Would you expect anything different from either of them?
Are you referring to the song again? Because I question your premise on the song, that a man would expect more services. I don't think that's what they mean at all.
What do they mean? That the wife wouldn't go out on them?
They mean more like what Nikki said, more of a security issue than a services issue.
So for the man or woman, so if you make an ugly woman your wife, you won't have to worry about her going out because nobody else would want her?
The song is actually not meant to be taken perfectly seriously, but there is some truth in it. And I think that the truth in it is the idea of a beautiful wife, you would have to be constantly vigilant about yourself and about her, theoretically, because maybe she would attract other people. And I think everybody knows what I mean by that. And then somebody who is less attracted to other people, there would be less pressure on the man, say, to be vigilant and protect what he considers his. And that's what I think they're getting at, not more services at all. That song is written in Jamaica by a Jamaican.
Yeah.
And that's what they meant. That's what I think.
And Jamaican women are a little bit more hefty as they get older.
I don't know about that. That could be true, but I don't know that.
That didn't occur to me till you said that from a man's perspective, he wouldn't have to protect an ugly woman.
I believe that that's what is behind the lyrics of the song, but again, it's not meant to be taken totally seriously, in my opinion.
Any of the rest of you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty much what Nikki said, only I
left. That's how I take the song.
The part about the services I don't think is valid. I don't think it had anything to do with what they were after there, although maybe I'm wrong.
You don't think overweight women have to try harder to please a boss, a husband, a situation?
I'm not necessarily saying that. You're still asking me. I'm saying that song, I don't believe, refers to that.
Well, let me ask you that next question. Do you think overweight women have to try harder at a job? Dead airspace here.
Well, I'm allowed to think, right?
Yes, you are allowed to.
I think probably yes. They would have to probably be better at what they do in order to be perceived as good as somebody who is trim and also have brains. But somebody who's trim and good looking may not have much expected out of them. You still get the job.
Nikki brought a study in today. Nikki, do you want to talk about this or want me to do it?
You go ahead.
This is a study about associating words with overweight people. Do you have any words that you associate with overweight people? Just out of the blue.
Jolly.
Jolly. Okay, that's a good one. Jolly old Saint Nick. And
uh-huh.
Lazy.
Lazy. You really do associate that? You're just picking it up.
Yeah. Do you? I don't think you actually think that, do you?
I think deep down.
Do you?
We all think that. Maybe. even though we want to fight it and not think that. I mean, we've been raised that way.
Raised to think that, yeah. I admit that I'm prejudiced for people who come in here who are overweight and slovenly, or overweight and neat-looking. I'm very prejudiced.
Well, I would agree with that because, I mean, you're more professional-looking when you, you know, try a little harder. If you're slovenly, nobody's going to take you seriously.
But there aren't clothes made for hefties.
There's, I disagree with that. There's many, many more stores available now for larger-sized women. And the clothes are actually getting way more cuter than what they used to be.
We talked last week, too, about all the clothes for the young women in very large sizes, but very short, with their midriffs hanging out.
Yes.
And rolls.
Yes.
William, how do you feel when you see a very young, overweight woman with, like, this spare tire hanging out from under her shirt?
I don't know if young or old makes any difference, but it's not appealing to see.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it isn't appealing?
Hard to define taste, but I find it tasteless.
I think most people find it tasteless.
Hard to define taste, but find taste.
Well,
what you like.
I don't.
What we like as a society is tends to not be rolls of fat hanging out over short, low-rise pants.
But I don't think this is a man thing. I don't.
Say what?
I don't think women like to look at that either.
Probably not.
I don't like to look at plumber's crack. But there's a lot of that around.
I don't either. In fact, I don't look.
That's my thing.
This is good.
You guys think sizes have gotten smaller?
Yes, they definitely have. I read an article about it. The really expensive clothes people started it. And they didn't want to, rich ladies didn't want to buy size 14, so they made it a 2, so they could say, I would buy that.
I suppose, too. You can go to say, a jeans place or whatever, look at it, slacks, and they say relaxed fit, and you take that size and hold it up next to the size that's 2 inches larger waist size, and it's the same size. It's, say, a 34 relaxed fit is the same as a 36.
Ah. Did you have that? Yeah.
That's marketing.
That's genius.
That is genius.
Marketing.
I do.
I forgot to ask about the other people about trophy wives. Why do you think there's this whole idea of trophy wives?
I think if you have somebody with you who's very good looking, I think that's more of a self-esteem issue for yourself. I think you think it makes you look better.
I think it's pretty much immaturity.
I agree with that.
That they have to have something nice on their arm to say, hey, look at me.
Immaturity.
I can attract this.
It goes along with all the other accoutrements of big business.
Midlife crisis, buy a Ford car, get a trophy wife.
Yeah. And in order to be it, they have to have their trophy wife as well as their expensive cars and whatever.
So,
immaturity.
A trophy car is like a trophy wife kind of thing?
Very similar. It's immaturity.
Nikki.
Do you think that women do that? Have trophy husbands?
Not ugly ones. Not fat ones.
Not fat ones.
They'd probably have to buy it.
I've noticed there's a trend towards, there's a lot of women I know who are dating younger men.
You know, as I said that, with these trophy wives that are married to really old, fat, rich men, I guess that's a money issue, too.
Not necessarily be really old. Really fast, just maybe powerful.
Powerful?
Yeah. Powerful is very appealing to a lot of women.
Like Anna Nicole. I don't know that her husband was fat. He was old.
Very old.
Fat
and
at
very rich.
It's less important if they're fat or ugly.
I want to go on with this article that Nikki brought in. And it's from Even Doctors Have Obesity Prejudice, Biases That Affect Health Professionals and Ordinary Citizens. Would you say obese people are lazy, stupid, worthless? Of course not, yet this very prejudice infects most people, including doctors and nurses. Weight bias is everywhere. This was a study done at Yale by Marlene Schwartz, PhD, and colleagues, and this appeared in the September issue
of obesity research that weight bias is rampant among health professionals who treat obesity. And the only way to get over that, there's biases everywhere, she says, she found, and that none of us are immune, and the only way to do something about it is by recognizing it, and insight is the way to behavior change. She's been studying bias against obese and overweight people. She gave a test to health professionals attending a meeting and very rapidly gave them words like flour, good, where they would respond back. And most of the time when they gave them the idea of fat people, back came lazy, stupid, worthless, and with thinner people, motivated, smart, valuable. These men are awful.
Doctors.
Yeah, and nurses, too.
Wow.
And there's a belief that obese people are lazy, stupid, worthless, have several potential implications for health care, because if you have diabetes, you get education. If you have asthma, and she's saying obesity makes diabetes and asthma worse, but if you're obese, you pay for any help you get. Healthcare system. And she suggests, I challenge you to do something nice today. Something that isn't patronizing for an obese person. Now that in itself is kind of patronizing. If you're taking public transportation, if you're sitting next to an obese person, instead of moving away, start a nice conversation. And with obese children, are quick to blame the parents for not feeding them well. I think our food supply has a lot to do with it.
All the fast food.
Yeah. And we're just not eating well. And I noticed...
And would you blame the parents on it?
For allowing the kids to have
that food? Well, you just said that.
Food?
Blaming parents. Is that fair? Well, maybe it is fair.
That they allow them to have it, but they get it at school, too.
You want to know what I think about it?
Yes, I do.
You see a fat person, you consider her to be a fat person. I don't think lazy necessarily, unless I happen to know. I think unlucky. I see somebody that's not that way, and I think lucky. I think a luck has a lot to do with it. Your genetic makeup, whatever your parents' duties, a lot of luck involved. I think health issues, whether they're physical or emotional health issues, are way more important than whether they're lazy.
Do you think that being overweight is physical or emotional?
I think it's both. It can be both. It most certainly is usually both.
That is one of the reasons that we undertook to look at the emotional issues around people who are overweight. Are they doing this for protection?
What came first, the chicken or the egg kind of thing? I don't know. I suspect they have a genetic issue that creates the physical issue that compounds the genetic issue and so on.
We found that
going downhill.
We found that with Nikki and her daughter, that when we supplied them the nutrients that their vocal profile said they needed, they were much more able to stay away from foods. And one of the things that we used with Nikki in particular was pine nuts, because pine nuts are full of good fats. And I think the ability to eat all of these fatty, over-the-counter, calorie-full foods are our need to have good fats in our diet. And a lot of it's been replaced with canola oils and
trans fats
and things that are not good for us. But even Nikki's daughter, who was with us last week, talked about taking the nutrients, and she was much more able not to grab that bag of potato chips to try to get that fat satiation.
So I think you're agreeing with me, right?
I think it's both, yes, that if someone just eats and eats and eats and eats, I think it is trying to, the person is trying to get the nutrients that their body says they need. Give them the nutrients based on their vocal profile, and they have an easier time. Heather and I and the rest of the staff talked about it. We didn't think we could do this diet project without addressing the idea of how people feel about their weight and whether or not they want to go out and have affairs so they keep themselves fat so they can't, or they want to use it as an excuse for
not doing what they should or not having energy or an excuse of why something happened, we don't know, and we really need to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, you had a study, a little test.
I want to say this first. I was starving all the time, and I ate junk. I ate what I craved. And just several days after taking the nutrients I needed, I didn't crave that stuff anymore, and I don't today. I don't know the last time I had a candy bar.
Wow.
I was saying I think I haven't had a chip in 3 weeks, and I haven't wanted one.
That's great.
I haven't needed one, and it wasn't willpower. It wasn't any of that.
It's just from
crap that people say.
Nutrients.
It's just my body being fed the right stuff.
That's
kept me
great.
From eating the wrong stuff.
That's great that it's that simple. Just do a voice print, and you can find out what nutrients you need, and bam, weight loss.
That easy. It is that easy.
But it's also stress. I know when I travel with my husband, I want sugar and I want candy. And if I go by myself, I don't want it. So I think there's a stress part of that. And we could look
stress
at that
eaters, yeah.
For nutrients, too. So a lot of it. Did I ask you a question? You said you wanted to address something first.
Oh, okay. The question you asked me...
your quiz.
Yes, I have a quiz. Does your pant size determine the amount of love you get? And they have 5 questions that they ask. Does your weight determine the level of intimacy you have with your partner?
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah. I would agree with that.
Do you often hide your feelings of rejection when your significant other mentions your weight?
Absolutely.
No, I tell them it makes me mad.
Okay.
Did you the first time?
No, it took me a lot of years to speak up, but once I started, I couldn't stop. Maybe that's why I'm divorced. I don't know.
Well, what if somebody said to you, I don't like you because you're green?
I say, I can't help being green. I like green.
You're not helping me make my point here.
Okay.
How we think about it.
I would think that person was being very prejudiced and not very sympathetic.
I remember when I was young and healthy and very strong and how that felt. And I want to be that again, but I haven't been able to. And I always blamed it on service to other people and not have time for me and blah, blah, blah. But since I've been taking my nutrients by taking my vocal print every day, I feel able to stick to the food. And the other thing is to have it available. To have the snacky things.
The
like,
good snacks, yeah.
Yeah, like we put chocolate and nuts on this table just to see who would take it, and nobody has. I ate some of the salty stuff.
I ate some of the nuts. I really wanted some chocolate, but I didn't.
I have no desire for it whatsoever.
That's amazing.
I know. It amazes me.
You just said, do you ever crave any food? While you're thinking about that, I'll make a comment. Women.
Yes, I do, slightly. I
remember something you craved once. Women who crave chocolate usually need magnesium.
Really?
And when you crave something like tomatoes or spaghetti with tomato stuff on it, it's usually vitamin D. So there's different things that you can watch for those triggers of what you want. I heard you say once, on a time, William, that you craved a beer, a cold beer. Was that because you had exercised or you just wanted something in the beer?
So I have a question. Where do you learn that if you crave tomato juice, you need vitamin D? Where can you get that information?
Well, there is a book called Handbook of, and I always say this backwards, Physics and Chemistry. And in Chapter 8 in there, you can look it up and look on under potato, and it'll tell you what's in a potato. I noticed when Jessica was pregnant, she just craved potatoes all the time. And we finally figured out it was the selenium in the potatoes.
Isn't that interesting?
From her vocal profiles. And selenium is what helps the body stretch, and it helps feed the connective tissue. And she doesn't have one stretch mark.
She doesn't, does she?
It was incredible. So those kinds of things while women are pregnant, I think, would make for healthy babies and less stress on your body.
Wow.
I remember at times, not to change the subject, but I remember at times craving steak.
Steak?
Like if I had been backpacking for a week or something like that, then I would crave a steak. But it's not because I had a craving necessarily, but because it was absent for a while, I think.
A steak craving is usually carnitine. And carnitine is required to use your fat in your body. And that's one of the things that we found consistent when we did a study on women who were underweight, that consistently they had massive amounts of carnitine in their system unused. So we don't know if taking a lot of carnitine would help you lose weight. We're hoping...
That's why we're doing this diet study. We need volunteers.
Did you get to the rest of your numbers here, Nikki?
Oh, no. There's another one. Do you often feel uncomfortable eating around your significant other?
Or do you just eat a little bit in front of them and just go sneak something else behind their back? Do you sneak eat?
I used to do that when I was married.
Because
I didn't want to hear him say anything, because it hurt my feelings.
So it was easier to do it behind his back?
Absolutely.
Still hungry is what you were saying.
I was still hungry, yeah.
I'm never hungry anymore.
That's great.
What nutrients do you take that makes you never hungry?
I take vitamin B. It gives me energy. I take... what's put in front of me?
I put a lot of pine nuts in front of you because you needed good fat.
You take the only sustenance eat or what?
Well, I mean, I don't have that ravishing hunger that I had.
You just eat
those horrible cravings.
Eat a little bit because you know you should, and then you quit.
Uh huh.
Well, there's a big difference in eat to live and live to eat.
Exactly.
Right.
So this would be different for every person. If they go in and have their vocal profiling done, their nutrients would come back for everybody. It would be different.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
Absolutely. Nikki, when you do a profile for people about their nutrients, how long does it take you?
15 minutes.
And you can just tell them what they need and send that back to them?
Yes, it's that simple. It's that easy.
So they need to get in touch with you how to do that for them?
At Nikki@vocalprofiling.com.
N-I-C-K-I.
Yeah.
At vocalprofiling.com. Question. Would you rather have the body you want, or have the personality you want, or have the intellect you want? Is that above all else that you want, the body you want?
I think the body part for me is the hardest, so I would choose that. Did you know that 89% of American women, according to Psychology Today, want to lose weight, whether they're considered overweight or not? 89% are not satisfied with their body and want to lose weight.
That's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
11% of women in...
Only 11% are actually satisfied with the way they look.
They just never think about it, don't care.
Yeah.
I want to have a good and generous heart. That's most important to me, and to hurt no one. Yes, I want a good body, but I would hate to have a wonderful, athletic, slender body and be an absolute bitch.
I know a lot of this. Maybe because they're hungry.
That's a song.
Yeah, that amazes me that a man's perspective on that song is that they wouldn't have to protect their wife. I thought of it so differently.
I mean, Gene's perspective, you know, I just happen to know that that's what they're after.
He's the male gender.
Whether I'm a man or what.
I did not even consider that until you brought it up. I considered that women with an ugly woman would have to work harder to keep her man, to keep him from straying. So she would do more for us.
And I'm not saying there's nothing to that in it, but I don't believe that's main concern.
Well, I agree with you now that there's two perspectives on that. Nikki, would you rather have the perfect body you want, or the perfect heart, the perfect mind, if you could choose?
I would like to have the perfect mind.
The perfect mind? Does that mean smart and wonderful and perceptive? And
yes, I think my heart's big enough already.
You, I consider you a very giving, warm, and gorgeous person, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Thank you.
William, from a man's perspective, what will you most admire in a mate?
You're going to ask me what I would rather have.
Okay. What would you rather have?
Ask the question you're asking.
Go ahead.
Ask the question you're asking.
I'm trying. I did. I asked it.
I was confused now.
Oh, is it more important to you that your mate has a kind heart, a good mind, a good body? You want a little bit of all of it. Okay.
It's similar to what my old friend used to say. If you could have any car in the world, what would it be? I said, I can't pick just one. I couldn't pick just one. I never could.
So we've concluded here that being overweight is a social issue. It's an emotional issue. It's a perception, image.
It's a societal issue.
Well, in some societies, they really like overweight women.
Societal issue, regardless whether it's desirable or undesirable.
Well, it's also a key, I think, in down a little bit. I think it's a health issue, and that's what we want to support.
Mental health and physical health.
That's what we want to support in people. So I don't know if I could put my body parts in this pile and my emotional traits in this pile. I think right now people would be able to pick me out from my body parts because that's the way we are as a society. And your emotions and your heart, and you have to get to know somebody, but that's what you see up front. And there is a prejudice about image, about what's going on. I remember going to the doctor, and I told him I couldn't swallow. And he said, oh, it's just because you feel so guilty because you're so overweight, and you're just feeling guilty about everything you eat. And so a few days later, I went back, and I said, you know, I can't breathe now. Not only can I not swallow very well, but I can't breathe very well. And air doesn't make you fat. So you need to do something. And it ended up I had a very large goiter, which is like a growth around the thyroid. So even with doctors, and I'm prejudiced against my own weight. I detest me for it sometimes. And I can't go up a set of stairs without huffing. I've eaten the wrong thing, and I don't have willpower. So our gift to people who have a weight issue is to do this study on weight management and to help them. So please get in touch with us, 740-698-9119, or Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, at vocalprofiling.com, or Heather, if you want to take classes and learn how to do this for yourself and bring this to your community and help the women in your Weight Watchers group, or what are their kind of
your spas, your health clubs?
Maybe you might even want to help a man.
might even want to help a man. So thank you for being with us, and that's a wrap.
What's going on, Mr. Macy?
Some people measure things.